Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So in Alabama yesterday, it was a hopping good time.
Oh, boy.
Really?
A runaway kangaroo temporarily shut down a portion of an interstate highway in Alabama Tuesday as state troopers and the animal's owner attempted to remove it from harm's way.
I got to stop you there. Please call her by her name.
Sheila.
Thank you.
The Alabama Law Enforcement Agency said part of southbound and northbound lanes of I-85 in Tuskegee, around 40 miles east of Montgomery in central Alabama, were closed after Sheila interrupted traffic and caused two vehicles to crash.
Quoting here from Macon County Sheriff Andre Brunson, when somebody said there's a kangaroo, I didn't believe it. Nobody believed it, but there I am looking right at her.
How do you call a kangaroo?
Hey, Sheila.
Sheila, I've talked to you about not going out on the highway.
You naughty girl.
They darted him, Dan, with like a, you know, sleepy. And the video shows
tranquilizer.
A drugged kangaroo being carried to a car to be, quote, returned to its home.
By the way, Sheila, you're drunk.
Sheila is a pet. Sheila is a pet.
You cannot have a kangaroo in Alabama.
How do you know?
What? This should not be a thing.
There are different rules around the states. Each state has their own rule about what you can do with a kangaroo and what you can't.
You know those things can be mean, too.
It is illegal to own a kangaroo as a pet in Alabama.
Okay, then...
They'll punch you.
Yes, they will.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can own one in Missouri. Hang on.
They used to be put in the ring for boxing matches.
Listen to this from the New York Times. Let's take a look at the latest news out of Macon County, Alabama. Quote, two-vehicle crash occurred approximately 11:50 a.m. on Tuesday, April 29th. Okay, not much to see here. Guess it's worth finishing the sentence, though. Involving kangaroo. Ding, ding, ding.
You can't.
Yes, it was a kangaroo on I-85. There was a wreck because of it.
You can own a kangaroo as a pet in the state of Missouri and zebras, too.
Hmm.
Video taken from a car just behind the roux shows it hopping along the left side of the road, accompanied by an under...
Did you just call it a roux?
By an understandable what the blank from the occupant of the car.
Well, you know the UMKC.
Roos.
They're the roos.
That doesn't mean one Kanga. Should have a roo.
You cannot own kangaroos as pets in the state of Kansas.
Here it is. The kangaroo's owner, Patrick Starr, was called to the scene. Mr. Starr runs Choctafowla Ranch, an agriculture tourism site, says the kangaroo is a private pet.
Are you serious that that's his real name?
Yes.
Patrick Starr?
Mr. Starr.
From SpongeBob?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
I didn't even think of that.
Owns Sheila. Good catch, Logan.
Runs a petting zoo in Alabama.
Yeah, I think that's sweet. You know, you if you go to the Kansas City Zoo, you can walk amongst the kangaroos.
Oh, it's one of my favorite things to do.
Now, you're not supposed to touch them, but you can walk amongst them.
Do you have the Sheriff Andre Brunson's live video? Logan, did you find it?
I haven't been able to find anything audio-wise,
no. He's Andre Brunson, and you can see him. He's an older gentleman with a white beard, and he is recording himself in what is obviously a squad car on Facebook with he's got one of those looks on his face that seasoned law enforcement officers have.
Would you call it befuddled?
Befuddled, but also just like, look at him putting on his hat. Like, really? He has a look of, really? Now, if this was a young trooper, check it out, everybody. This is an old, seasoned law enforcement officer.
Thinking to himself, man, I've got to babysit these people
day
long.
He has seen it all.
Too old for this.
Exactly what it looks like.
It really does. He's selfie videoing himself as he's walking over to the kangaroo, and you can just see it in his face. He's like, you know, I am too old. I am too tired.
Damned old.
Let's listen in, shall we? I love him so much.
Was that music added or was that on the radio?
Right. Was that what he was listening to? Happened to be listening to circus
music?
That was the
soundtrack of the sheriff's life, Dan.
It's a circus.
Oh, herding cats and wrestling monkeys.
It was raining money in Illinois after the back door of an armored truck accidentally opened and dropped $300,000 in cash.
No.
The security truck, which was operated by Brinks, was traveling southbound on Austin Boulevard in Oak Park, Illinois, about 10 miles west of Chicago, on April 22nd when, quote, its back door opened by unknown means and dropped three bags of cash.
The back door opened by unknown means, and then people lost their ever-loving minds.
When the driver returned to the location where the door had opened, they saw between 50 and 100 people removing money from the scene and fleeing on foot and in vehicles.
Run!
The total loss is estimated at $300,000.
Finders keepers, right?
Is that theft?
That's a good question.
Like theft of mislaid property. It wasn't mislaid. It was misfelled.
Felled.
Misfelled property.
The bills were primarily $1 and $20 bills.
Okay, so how much are you really going to get away with? You're not going to walk out of there with thousands of dollars.
More than I came with.
Right? It's like going in that that glass case where you have to grab as much money as you can.
Yes, remember that on Let's Make a Deal? And no one could ever grab the money.
It's difficult.
No, there was a method to the madness where somebody said you were supposed to shove it toward the little hole, you know, there was a slot. Mm-hmm. And you know, with the money blowing around, wasn't that Let's Make a Deal?
I don't think it was that.
I don't think it was.
We got to bring that back. That was a great game show game.
Where you jump in the glass container with all the money flying around?
It looked like a gigantic glass tube, the kind that you floop through the bank teller. It looked like one of those, but much bigger. And then money would just go flying around you because they had, you know, like a fan in there or something. And then you had to shove it through the little slot to get as much money as you could. And it was never very much money because you couldn't catch it.
The tube, by the way, is a pneumatic tube.
It's a pneumatic tube.
Pneumatic tube system.
On to my favorite story of the day. 24 people have landed on the do not sail list, a cousin to the do not fly list. Mm-hmm. Why, you ask?
Why?
A massive brawl has erupted among Carnival cruise passengers. Quote, we will not tolerate such behavior. And 24 people have now been placed on our, quote, do not sail list, according to a spokesperson from Carnival Cruises.
So what was the minimum age of each fighter? 78?
Fisticuffs flying at the buffet.
Please look this up, Scott. Footage from the fight seemingly shows multiple passengers punching and kicking one another. It occurred at a cruise terminal in Galveston last Saturday.
Was it a Carnival cruise?
Yes, it was, Scott. Passengers had just disembarked on their 7-day Western Caribbean cruise on the Carnival Jubilee when the fight broke out.
There it is.
There they go.
Throwing hands.
They were throwing hands.
The incident occurred in the debarkation area under the authority of U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. The matter has been turned over to local law enforcement.
There's your fight right there.
You know, at the end of any vacation, people are a little cranky.
Walkers are flying everywhere.
Paradise is over. You got to go back home. You got to go back to work. You got those bills.
Somebody's dentures just fell out.
Oh, It's on.
You're going to get those back.
You can do some serious damage with a cane and a tennis ball on the end of it.
No, you can't. I believe that is incorrect.
Depends on which way you whack it at somebody.
Okay.
Don't make me take this tennis ball off.
Does it say what they were fighting about?
No! Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter, but just people are so dumb.
Also, is the do not sail list specifically for Carnival Cruises, or is there an international do not sail list? Like, so if I wanted
to
get on like a Princess cruise, maybe Norwegian, I don't know if we'll have time.
Does Jerk Air want to expand?
Yes.
Absolutely, we'll take
into
them.
Into this?
Well, we would take them.
We'll take
them on our passenger list.
Or do we want to expand into the Gorilla Fight Club?
I don't want dead passengers.
It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up.
Now, if you were to survive the Gorilla Fight Club,
yeah,
I would take you as a passenger because that shows to me how dumb you really are.
I think you might be willing
to cause a disturbance on Jerk Air.
I think that person becomes our air marshal.
I hadn't thought about it like that.
Doesn't even need to be armed. We don't need a gun.
Button to wear. I fought the gorilla.
Fire Marshal John or Air Marshal John.
We'll give him a t-shirt. I fought the gorilla and all I got was this t-shirt.
That's good thinking, guys. That's good thinking. 913-586-7798. Dana Wright, Logan Weber. My name's Scott here on KMBZ.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Did you guys hear about what happened with John Elway and his business partner, former agent?
No, what?
Jeff Spurbeck, the longtime friend, business partner, and former agent of John Elway, died today from injuries suffered when he fell off of a golf cart, reportedly being driven by Elway. Jeff Spurbeck was 62 years old. The Riverside County, California coroner confirmed that Spurbeck's death in a news release. He was injured on Saturday night.
Was Elway, Spurbeck, both of their wives, and Elway's son all riding on the cart when he fell and struck his head.
This happened on Saturday night in La Quinta, California. He was declared dead early this morning. According to TMZ, Elway was driving the golf cart when Spurbeck fell off, as you mentioned, hit his head on the asphalt. Spurbeck had been sitting in the passenger seat. He had been on life support ever since.
Okay. This just came up last week with a girlfriend of mine. We were sharing a golf cart, and we were talking about how slick it was out. It had rained the night before, and she said, you know, these things scare me to death. The kids all driving around in them in neighborhoods. We've had that conversation on the show
before. In our neighborhood, yep.
And we were talking about it. I said, some of these go so fast, and if you are looking out to the right and someone driving that, you're not paying attention, cranks it left. Let me just give you an example. You so quickly can find yourself thrown out of one of those things. And in fact, a few years ago, there was a case here locally, Scott, I think it was two sisters, complete adults. And that's what happened. One of them turned left. The other one was looking out right. She fell out and struck her head. And I believe it was fatal. And so this is sad. It's tragic, but those things aren't.
How fast does a golf cart go?
Oh gosh.
20 miles an hour?
No, some of the new ones, Scott, you'd have to look up the speeds, but
there's no seatbelts.
It's not the old gas cart that you and I used to tool around on when we were
the ones you drive around at Suburban Lawn and Garden.
Teenagers, yeah, it's just not like that anymore.
I'm gonna look up how fast can a golf cart go. Hang on, let me look that up.
You know, some of them that look more like the hunting carts were
like a four-wheeler.
There's like a back seat that faces backwards, Scott. So there's like one row, two rows, and then the third seat faces backward the way that our station wagons used to in the 70s.
Yeah.
It's terribly
so
sad.
So your standard golf cart can go 12 to 15 miles per hour, but souped-up models can go to 25 miles per hour.
Okay. There is no indication that Elway did anything wrong. He immediately called 911 after the accident.
Well, they had left a party. Did they test him for alcohol?
I don't know. Palm Springs, Riverside County Sheriff's Department is investigating.
Okay. Steven Spielberg has revealed what he considers to be the greatest American film of all time. Keep in mind, this is a man behind Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Jaws.
Schindler's List.
Please.
Jaws.
E.T.
They were at the 50th AFI, American Film Institute, I think is what that stands for, Life Achievement Award, and it was for Francis Ford Coppola. And Steven Spielberg revealed that he believes that The Godfather from 1972, directed by Francis Ford Coppola, is the greatest U.S. film ever made. Ever. Francis Ford Coppola, upon hearing that, put his head into his hands and kind of shook his head no. Huh. The American Film Institute lists The Godfather as number two on its list of the greatest American films of all time. Would you care to guess what the American Film Institute considers the number one film ever made in the United States?
Is it one of those like A Clockwork Orange or Ben-Hur Scarlett O'Hara, the one on the planes, sorry.
Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind or Casablanca.
You're kind of in the right wheelhouse.
Yeah, I don't know.
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane. That's what I was going to say. I just didn't know if it was an American-made film.
Was that... Okay, we talked about this the other day, Logan. When Gene Hackman died, it was widely considered that his best role was French Connection. It was back in the...
70s.
60s or 70s, whatever. So I thought, in honor of Gene Hackman and his amazing body of work, we are going to sit down and we are going to watch The French Connection.
Don't waste your time. Just watch Crimson Tide.
I got about 9 minutes into that film. I'm sorry. It's unwatchable. It
is
unwatchable.
What do you mean by unwatchable?
There is a scene in the beginning where some guy in a dark alley fires a shot, okay? And keep in mind, this is in the late 60s, early 70s, right? We didn't have CGI. We just had really bad body doubles. And when the shot is fired, the other guy goes, ah! Oh, and you know, it's just, we know better now. We do things better now.
But you have to put yourself there at the time,
Dan,
as a movie watcher.
I can't.
No, because it's 2025, not 75.
And then a lot of it was in French, and I get it, French Connection.
whatever the French connection was, I don't know, because it was French, and you know I failed French.
And how can you put that movie? I mean, I've seen French Connection. In my opinion, Gene Hackman's best role is in Mississippi Burning.
Oh,
one
I
of the best movies
Burning.
I have ever watched in my life. Him and Willem Dafoe, phenomenal film.
Yep.
Better than Crimson Tide with Denzel Washington?
Yes.
No.
In my opinion, I would say so, yes.
Yeah, Crimson Tide's way up there. But Citizen Kane as the top movie in American cinema, yeah, that's a solid choice.
You know an old movie that I watched? God, this must have been 26, 27 years ago. I had read the book, and I went over to Blockbuster. I'll tell you about what that is later, Logan.
I remember Blockbuster. So I went to, I'm not that young.
Okay. I went to Blockbuster and I rented the movie, and it's an older movie, and I was blown away by how good it was, The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, yes, yes, that's a great movie.
I thought that was a fantastically well-done older movie where the acting was really good, because I'm with Dana. A lot of these older movies, man, the acting kind of sucks.
They don't really hold, not a lot of them hold up that
much. It doesn't hold up that well. That's all I'm saying.
It's kind of like a fake shark in Jaws 1975.
That holds up incredibly well. How dare you?
That holds up like a lead ball on a wet paper towel.
Death.
The thing is about the older movies is that they did not have the computers and the CGI and all of this stuff. So they had to do what they could with acting and set building and lighting. And sometimes you had gold.
So I'm going to say something that Dana Wright is going to consider sacrilege. And I'm not a huge fan of the movie remake. Like when they redid Footloose, when they redid Red Dawn, it was all right. But, you know, they always keep going back and remaking these movies that don't need to be remade.
Total Recall.
Yeah, they were fine the first time. Leave them alone. With CGI the way it is now, and all the things that you can do with the computer, dare I say, to celebrate the 50th anniversary of this classic, we remake Jaws.
I thought they did. It's called Sharknado.
I don't. Dan, you watch your filthy mouth. We will
Sharknado
not remake
was better than
that
Jaws.
Classic.
Sharknado was actually a pretty good movie.
You don't, with today's CGI,
show
the computer.
Show me the way to go home.
But, but with the. Dana, with the way that they could do the shark. Because I.
It is terrifying.
No, it is terrible.
That thing pops out of the water and I crap my pants every single time. So, and I've seen that movie 10,000 times.
So after all these years of being on the show with you, one day, about a year ago or 2 years ago, I sat down because Jaws is on TV all the time, it's always on TV. And I thought, I'm going to give this a shot. I could not get past how fake the shark looked. And I turned it off. Because it's just...
You have to put fake. Yourself in the shoes of the viewer
the time,
in 1976.
I get it. No, I get it.
Yeah.
But yeah. 6 years later, he makes Raiders of the Lost Ark, and it's awesome.
Oh, my God, yes.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. We'll grab one and then get to the story from Fox 4 here in just a moment. Melissa in KCK. Melissa, hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I have to tell you my very favorite, one of my favorite childhood stories is all about Jaws. When I was between 5 and 10, probably like 8-ish years old, my older sisters, who are 7 and 10 years older than me, had me watch Jaws for the first time. We were also going to Florida for a family vacation. And I had just watched the movie. I feel like we even watched it while we were in Florida at this like cool little hotel. And then we went swimming in the pool and it was sunset, which was beautiful, except that my eyes were open underwater when the lights came on in the pool and I lost my mind.
Why?
Lost it. Because I was sure that it was Jaws. I was 8 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I was little.
I don't like looking at lake water, Melissa, without thinking, could there be something under there that's going to get me?
Right?
That's in a lake.
I have a mermaid obsession. So like a lot of people on the air are going to know that I'm who I am, which is cool. But I don't need to be in open ocean. I can be on the water in a ship. I don't need to be in the water.
So,
and I think it's because of Jaws.
You won't even step foot in an ocean?
Oh, I will. But open water, like we did an excursion. We took a catamaran out to the middle of nowhere and did snorkeling, got in the water, had a panic attack for like the first time in a really long time. And I'm like, now as I'm talking to you, I think it's Jaws' fault.
Really?
I think that's the blame. Yeah, my sisters messed me up.
Well, we were in Turks, and we went out on a catamaran, and we went snorkeling and diving, and they took us to an old shipwreck that was under the water. Yeah. It was awesome.
I know. I'm really mad that I missed out because that was the excursion I wanted. But here we are.
Okay.
I had a wonderful time on the boat. It was fine. But yeah, that's one of my very favorite childhood stories is my Jaws trauma.
Well, Melissa, I hope someday you're able to get over it. And thank you for the call.
Hey, thanks. You guys are great. Have a good day.
Be well. Dateline here is Kansas City, Missouri. Stories from Fox 4. A settlement has been reached in the wrongful death lawsuit brought forth by the families of a man and woman who were killed in a murder-suicide in Lenexa in 2022. It was on February 27th of that year that investigators say Dustin Johnson, 37 years old, shot and killed his ex-girlfriend, 22-year-old Sarah Beck, and 20-year-old John Williamson II, who Beck had been seeing before committing suicide. Beck's and Williamson's family sued the GPS company Hapnin Holdings, Inc., that made the GPS that Johnson used to track down Beck before murdering her and
so
Williamson.
We talked about this, you guys, at length when this happened. It is so sad. And basically what the investigation showed, I think pretty quickly in the days after the murders, was that he knew exactly where she was going to be and when she was going to be there at all times. In fact, leading up to the murders, I believe there were some times where, like, let's say she would go to the gym, he would just be there. And she's like, all right, is he following me? Like, you know, what is going on? The lawsuit alleges that the GPS product caused those deaths because the tracker, here are the words, is negligently, recklessly, and intentionally designed for the purpose of tracking unsuspecting individuals. I have to agree with that sentence.
But wouldn't you argue that a GPS tracker is always intended for that?
Outside of telling you as an employee when you're out driving my van that we have a GPS tracker on the van, or we have a GPS tracker on a golf cart in case someone steals it, or a fleet of cars at a dealership, what possible purpose does that serve except hunting someone down?
Well, I understand your point, and it's fair, but just because somebody could use a product for
nefarious purposes?
Yes.
Okay, then give me a non-nefarious purpose if you're not a business owner and that's your vehicle.
A parent? Wanting to keep tabs on the family car that the kid takes out,
Scott,
when they're 17 years old?
That's what Life 360 and a thousand other things are for. The difference between a GPS tracker is that it's going to be used by people that don't have access to your whereabouts via cell phone. Like, everyone in my life that is important to me knows where I am at all times.
I understand.
Outside of that circle, I don't need anyone knowing where I am all the time.
I live in a high crime neighborhood in the city, and I'm afraid my car is going to get stolen. So I put a GPS in the trunk.
That is in your own car.
I understand, but what I'm saying is that is a perfectly legitimate reason to buy a GPS tracker, right? To keep tabs on where my car is at any given moment.
Okay.
I live in a high crime area, okay?
Okay.
Or not unlike the Apple, what's it called, that you would put in your suitcase or something.
The AirTags, still
AirTags.
Don't love it.
I don't either. But those are legitimate reasons why one person might want to buy a GPS tracker. We don't know. Let's say you and I run the company. We run Hapnin Holdings, okay?
Okay.
We don't know when somebody puts an order in for the GPS tracker, are they putting it in their car because they live in a high crime neighborhood?
Okay.
Are they putting it in their car because they don't know that their 17-year-old is going to keep their phone on for Life 360?
You are...
Or am I selling it to somebody who's going to kill his girlfriend?
Between the two of us, you will say, I don't always like a new law to handle issues. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Why could there not be a law, maybe there already is, that those are to be used for your use only. And the minute you start spying on someone else, you have crossed into invasion of privacy. Like, what would the law broken be?
Well, I'm fine with that. That would be an invasion of privacy. I don't even think you need to create a law. I think it already exists. That would be harassment, stalking, invasion of privacy.
You know, the domestic violence shelters know all about these things and will tell women when you have an escape plan from your abuser to check that car.
Well, but anybody who's up to no good is going to hide it in a spot that you're probably not going to find it. And when you're in the rush to get out of that dangerous, abusive home, you're probably not checking the car as thoroughly as you otherwise would. But my point is, there already are laws that exist that would prevent somebody from putting it on. Like, for example, if I were to go out to your car right now and put a GPS tracker on your car, you don't want me following you on GPS. That would be a violation. It would probably be against the law. It would be stalking, if nothing else. But the problem is, you can create all the laws you want, but by the time you get to file charges against somebody, they've probably already killed their victim. And it's too late. And you're going to get them on a much more serious charge of murder. Now, is it my understanding that this guy killed Sarah Beck, the guy that she was seeing, and then he killed himself? Because it says murder-suicide in the story.
Believe so, if memory serves.
Okay.
Because, you know, after it happened, they were trying to figure out, okay, how did he know to come to this spot? And I did recall this correctly, she had noticed him following her prior.
Let's go to Mike in Topeka. Mike, hello.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give two other examples of a legitimate reason for using one of these GPS trackers. That young boy that had autism that disappeared for, I don't remember how long it was, but it took a while to find him, and the elderly that may walk off from their nursing homes or whatever. You want to be able to keep track of them. I do think that there are a lot of very useful reasons for this that can be abused. And I think maybe that's where the focus needs to be on is, like you said, a law that is specific to the misuse of it that could maybe carry some stiffer penalties or punishments for it if someone uses something that is intended for good, honest purposes and they pervert it and use it for something bad.
All right, Mike. Hey, do appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it. Janice calling in from Mission. Hello, Janice.
Hi, I was just calling to say that I use an AirTag on my beagle who likes to run if he gets the chance, and it's a great way to track him and figure out where he's at.
Have you ever had to use it?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My beagle runs if he gets the chance.
You just put it on his collar or something?
Uh-huh. Yep. Oh.
How big is a GPS tracker? I've never even seen one, I must confess.
It's maybe a little bigger circumference than a quarter, and it's thicker, I would say, not quite the thickness of a water bottle cap.
Okay. All right. Janice, do appreciate the call. Thank you for it. 913-586-7798. We'll get to more of your calls, your comments here in just a moment on Dana and Parks. Just in case it pops up on the news tomorrow, you heard it here first. Pakistan says it has credible intelligence that India is planning an imminent military strike sometime either tonight or tomorrow. Apparently, they are not friends. They do not play well in the sandbox together. By the way, I need not remind you, they both have nuclear weapons. The Kansas City Chiefs have exercised their fifth-year options on cornerback Trent McDuffie and pass rusher George Karlaftis, two of the young pillars of a defense that has helped them reach three consecutive
Super Bowls. I love that sweet George Karlaftis. I love him.
The deadline to pick up the option year was tomorrow. The 24-year-old McDuffie, who was the 21st overall pick in 2022, has started all 43 games that he has played over the past three seasons. McDuffie was a first-team All-Pro in 2023, second-team All-Pro this past season. Karlaftis, who is also 24, was the 30th overall pick in the same draft and has developed into one of the NFL's top-tier defensive ends. He had six sacks as a rookie, 10.5 sacks the following year, and eight last season.
He's strong like bull. Have you heard that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to portray a UFC fighter named Mark Kerr in a movie called The Smashing Machine?
Okay.
Dwayne Johnson soon heading to theaters in what might be the most dramatic role of his career. In The Smashing Machine, Johnson will play MMA and UFC fighter Mark Kerr, who was apparently the subject of a 2002 HBO documentary about what the sport did to his body and his brain and all of those things. The new trailer for The Smashing Machine was released Tuesday. Though he has yet to speak specifically about his physical transformation for the role, he appears to have used facial prosthetics to help him look more closely like Kerr, whose 12-year career took off in the late 90s. And if you look at him, it definitely, there are photos out there, it definitely does not really, he almost looks from the side like a, like an older, beefier John Travolta.
Is that him on the right?
Yes.
Doesn't look anything like him.
I know.
God, he is built like a brick poop house, man.
He is. He is.
Gosh, he's. I wish I had half the body he has. Apparently, high school seniors are not just celebrating their acceptance letters to major universities across the country. The new trend on TikTok, of course, it's on TikTok.
Of course, it is.
Is to celebrate your rejection. They are making rejection cakes, among other things, when they get their letters saying, nice try, but we're not interested. Why don't you take that somewhere else down the road?
I heard the other day there are schools that will actually ghost you. I never knew that. I thought if you got rejected, you just get rejected. Someone told me that there are schools, especially in the postgraduate world, where you just get ghosted. You just don't ever
hear
back.
They don't even respond?
Nope.
Oh, that's unfortunate. How many schools did you apply to?
Oh, three or four.
See, I did three. But nowadays, kids are applying to a lot more than that, I think.
It's expensive to apply. It's expensive to apply.
I don't remember having to pay when we were kids.
One of my favorite stories, one of the children applied to a bunch of schools. I'm not even going to say which one. And I hate that question. What is some hardship that you've overcome?
Yeah,
they've got to ban that question when you're asking, because it makes it life a competition. You know, not everybody has had.
Yeah, some people are born with silver spoons in their mouth.
And yes.
They've had a great, easy life.
Or, you know, haven't suffered an excruciating loss. Like, I hope that that's the case for everybody. And it makes people like think, well, okay, well, there's that one. You know, yeah. I just hate that question.
I was bullied on the,
so
the playground.
One of the schools this individual applied to was one of the, like, the baby Ivies. It wasn't an Ivy League, but it was a baby Ivy. Okay. And the person said that I shall not name, they were so exhausted after applying to, like, 10, 15 schools. Like, she was just done.
Yeah.
Well, there, I just narrowed it down. She says to me one night, I did not get into Columbia. I go, oh.
Well, that's an Ivy.
And I said, well, wow. I did not know we were applying to Columbia. She goes, yeah, they wanted to know, like, what was a challenging day in my life. And she goes, I wrote the day that Taco Bell discontinued the Frito burrito.
See, I would let her in on that.
That's what I said. I go, that is
creative.
So funny. It is so creative.
And it's creative. That's
but
right.
Maybe Cambridge or one of those schools, like, maybe that wasn't the school to try that out on.
Today's,
maybe we go Nebraska with that one.
Hey, watch your mouth.
I'm just saying.
That was a good one, Dana.
Today is International Jazz Day. It's also National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day. 6.5 million pets are brought to U.S. animal shelters every single year. We got to run. Logan Weber's our producer. Sam returns tomorrow. Dana Wright, my name is Scott. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.